Last week, Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker talked about border politics and the June 26th Supreme Court decision that partially upheld Trump's travel ban. And they discussed the psychological dynamics of various forms of anti-immigrant propaganda. Today, I'm going to continue that discussion. Regardless of the ultimate fate of the Trump presidency, with his nominee Neil Gorsuch, Trump has managed to have put in place a reactionary direction to U.S. politics for a generation. But resistance is still possible, according to Mukund Roddy, in an article entitled Justice Denied on Trump's Muslim Ban, of which I am going to share excerpts. Roddy looks at the cruel and bigoted reasoning behind the Supreme Court's restoration of parts of Donald Trump's Muslim ban and argues for resistance. After Donald Trump's first and second attempts at a Muslim ban, Roddy begins, were defeated by the mass protests and legal challenges, on June 26th, the U.S. Supreme Court reimposed key sections of the ban, delivering a major victory to the forces promoting anti-Muslim bigotry. The third version of the ban targets people from the same six Muslim-majority countries, as well as the entire U.S. refugee program, but now includes an exception for those with a credible claim of a bona fide relationship with a person or entity in the United States. The court's decision that the ban's supposed benefits to national security outweigh its possible harm is the height of imperial arrogance and cruelty, a message to people fleeing civil wars and sectarian bloodshed that have killed millions that their lives matter less than the remote chance that an American might be killed by a Muslim terrorist. Meanwhile, immigrants and refugees stuck at borders or in the countries racked by U.S. imperialist violence will bear the brunt of the legal and political uncertainty. Shamefully, the supposedly liberal justices of the court not only supported this decision, but also weaseled their way out of taking responsibility by signing their names to it. Instead, the court released this as a per curiam opinion, a device traditionally used for uncontroversial decisions that are so legally obvious that the justices join in their entirety. The complexity of this Democratic appointed justices undercuts the idea that this ruling is a result of Trump's recent appointee, Neil Gorsuch, breaking a court deadlock. As further evidence that we have to fight this new Muslim ban the way we fought previous attempts, through protests that forced the legal system to uphold the justice it claims to stand for. Donald Trump and his Islamophobic allies obviously deserve the lion's share of the blame for this disgraceful ban. But it's important to note complicity of the court's supposedly liberal justices who supported the ban but didn't sign their names to it. Public accountability through the disclosure of votes and opinion authors puts the judge's conscience and reputation on the line, said then-Circuit Judge Ginsburg in 1990. Ginsburg has in recent years become an unlikely liberal cult hero, but there's nothing notorious or heroic about hiding behind an antiquated legal device. The law is not sacred, and it's not apart from politics. Overturning the Muslim ban will require a mass fight against all forms of Islamophobia, and any effective legal strategy must flow out of that fight. Organizing large coalitions and confronting powerful institutions should be at the forefront of democratic politics, not judicial subtlety and clever interpretations of superannuated texts. Durable abortion rights are more likely to be secured through a broad coalition demanding universal access to single-payer health care than through appeals to protect the legacy of Roe. The reform of racist and violent policing through judicial interpretations of the Fourth Amendment is meaningless in the absence of the political will to bring paramilitarized cops to heel. Confronting patterns of gross inequality with respect to gender and sexuality is a project best pursued through intersectional alliances, not disputes over constitutional doctrine. It was mass protests at airports across the country that turned the tide against Trump's first attempt at an Islamophobic travel ban. The fight against this new ban may require new tactics and longer-term organizing, but it still requires the same outpouring of grassroots solidarity and popular resistance to fight this gross injustice that has now been upheld by the highest court in the land. I've been reading from an article entitled Justice Denied on Trump's Muslim Ban by Mukund Roddy. The complete article, and it's quite long, can be found on the Socialist Worker webpage.